Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
We're back, hour number two on FST, the weekend, Memorial Day weekend edition. I'll get that right. We're coming out of the break one of these times.
Yeah. It's okay, buddy. It's funny because we had the holiday. It was like May 2-4, and I'm like, okay, it's the our holiday's a week before. I'm like, May 2-4, what the hell's going on here? Like, they had the wrong date, so it's okay, Mike. I'm with you, buddy. Anyway, hope everybody has a great weekend. Get the barbecues fired up. Get to see friends and family that you haven't got to see. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we're having fun today talking about a lot of different topics, which we don't always get to, but we're going to focus on the NFL right now because there's a lot to talk about. We got Bob Long coming up in about 20 minutes from Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. We'll talk fantasy football. We'll talk about his outlook on various teams. But we did talk about it just based on the sounder we just heard and what Cam and I talked about in the previous hour about the Dolphins. I do think that while they're not going to say it, and sometimes it's difficult for football teams to truly tank, like in basketball, you can truly tank. Like, you just put the good player, like Philly, when they were, trust the process, Philly was acquiring players that they knew weren't going to be able to win with any consistency. They were stockpiling draft picks and putting players out there that were all, the entire roster was like under 24 years old, and they weren't all-star quality players. Football, it's a little bit more difficult because every guy on that roster is playing for his next contract, like, as hard as he can. Not to say they don't do that in the NBA, but there's so, the talent levels are relatively close in the NFL that you can't guarantee that you're going to lose every game. For the Browns to do that is really difficult to do. You have to really not know what you're doing in order to lose every game. But on the Dolphins front, I've said this a bunch of times before, I'll say it again. I think, unfortunately, Josh Rosen is going to be in the exact same position a year from now, where he will get drafted over in Miami. I think they'll probably be the worst team. And even if they're not, who else would be there? The only other team I could see being bad to the point where they would also need to draft one of those quarterbacks is Cincinnati. I don't think anybody else that it's in dire need of a QB will be that high up the draft board. And I think Cincinnati's made enough changes that they can scrape out 5 or 6 wins.
Oh, yeah. Think about Cincinnati. It's weird, Mike. When I'm looking at the projections in Miami, I just think they're way off because every other team, the lesser lights are getting better. New England is New England, and Miami's doing nothing. You hear reports, there's competition for every position. Okay, great. Who the hell is going to be their starting running back too? That's another problem. They have problems on the line. It's not just a one-time problem. You look at the receivers too. Yeah, I like Kenny Stills, but Devontae Parker, he's always in. Jakeem Grant's one hit away from not being in the league. Albert Wilson, like you look at these guys. Like, there is nothing that Miami puts on the field that instills fear in anybody. Rosen also with a new team. Hell, with the Cardinals, I didn't think he really got a fair shake, but it's not like he's going to get much protection here either. It's another situation, right? So he's going to get murdered out there. He's kind of an old school quarterback. He's mobile, but not great. Like, you know what I mean? He's going to get hit a lot, and it's going to be a real problem. I'm with you, and I'm looking at books, and I'm seeing the Miami Dolphins 5.5. I my eyes are popping through the computer screen there. Like, I'm like, at best, I think they win 4 or 5 games. I mean, at best, that's like the perfect Storm, I think they can maybe win five if everything goes right, and it won't. Everything won't go right. I think they're a 3-4 win football team. They're going to be awful, and yeah, I'm going to take the 5.5, Mike, and I'm going to definitely go under. It's going to be a real long season for Rosen, and that the thing is, I'd be more confident, but you look at the offensive line has a lot of questions too, and he's going to need a perfect offensive line to do the things they want to do. We don't know about the running game too, and they have a bunch of the same old receivers, a couple burners, but undersized. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, I'm looking at Miami and going, they're bad, like real bad.
The talent level on offense is poor.
It's dismal.
They have a long-term left tackle in Laramie Tunsil that they exercised the 5th-year mm-hmm. option on. They have a second-year tight end in Mike Gesicki. You call it an incomplete grade because what do you know about rookie tight ends? Virtually nothing. The Parker, Stills, Bryce Butler, Jakeem Grant depth chart is bad again. Stills,
stinks.
I know some of our guys, especially at Daily Roto, think Stills is eternally underrated, and that may be the case, but Parker is an oft-injured guy. Fitzpatrick is apparently tearing it up at OTAs, but do you really want him to play out the season? Fitzpatrick was a plan C kind of situation for them. Josh Rosen is the guy that really should be starting, but he's going to be starting for a first-time head coach, by the way, a Boston College, former Boston College safety linebacker, just a couple of years younger than me and Brian Flores. I'm glad he's getting this shot, but he's getting a shot on a team that is in the middle of being blown up. I think he'll get a fairer shake than Steve Wilks got, because I think it's assumed by everyone that we are building this from the ground up. So Josh Rosen is working with Kenyon Drake, a subpar at best offensive line, that wide receiving core I just talked to you about, and a second year tight end that we don't really know what he is yet. Defensively is the one area that I think Flores could have an impact to help them, because in drafting Christian Wilkins, they have Minka Fitzpatrick as a first round pick from last year, and they just extended Xavien Howard to make him the highest paid corner in the history of the league, depending on how you measure the contract.
What about the linebackers? Fun. What about the linebackers are concerning to me. Like, Kiko Alonso, he's an older
Kiko
guy.
Kiko Alonso, he puts up stats, but he isn't that
guy. Yeah, yeah. Bobby McClain and Raekwon McMillan. Like, I'm looking at Jerome Baker. Like, I'm looking at these. I can understand. You're right. They got a lot of youth on the defensive line, and I think that could be potential there. That's good. The cornerback, they have some real talent. Minka Fitzpatrick at safety. Like, they're good that way, but I'm looking at the core of the linebacker positions and even the depth. I think it's a real concern, Mike, and that's a problem.
They're going to be on the field too
bad.
Much.
Yeah, they are.
They're going to be on the field way too much. I think this is the worst team top to bottom. And a lot of people are saying that, but I've been on board. That 7-9 that they pulled off last year was gambler's paradise for one reason. They had a very easy schedule the way it's set up for them. They played a couple of good teams. They played Tennessee right out of the
games on flukes. By putting Gronkowski on the field on the crazy return play and whatever. They had a lot of
their total
late,
was six,
plays,
Cam,
too.
And they won. they went over because of the miracle. Hail Mary. They played the Bears in 100-degree heat in September. They got the Raiders in September when they were in the middle of blowing up the entire thing. So they got to 7 in a miraculous fashion, and I think if you dive deeper into the numbers, you realize it really wasn't that good of a team. So I think that's where we're at on the Dolphins. Unfortunately, the books I'm seeing this morning are both at 4.5. I would
really
still take the under, but if you're listening at home, I think you have to shop around to find that 5 or 5.5 that can.
I was going
to
say, Mike, you got my address. If you or we could do a wire transfer, I can go put it on one of my books that you got.
Exactly.
And it's only at 5.5 to get that extra juice. It's only like, I thought it would be like maybe even like 60 cents. Like they'd create like the juice would be crazy. It's 5.5 with 40 cents. I can deal with that. For that extra game, I can deal with that. Five and a half minus 140 under looks good to me for the Dolphins. And another thing about the offensive line, and we'll get to another team. All their depth guys are rookies. Like if they have any type of key injury, they're toast. So
that's right.
Good luck
to
you.
all right. So how do you want to? You want to do divisions or just to make the playoffs? You want to go just to make the playoffs? You want to go through some of those guys?
to make the playoffs. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, so right now on my book, I'm looking. Let me see. I could see how they spread it out here. They got regular season wins, season specials. What do you got? MVP, conference, division. I like to make the playoff one. Because I'm on my other book, they have that.
I'll throw these out at you.
Sure.
We'll discuss. So let's all right. Let's go with your team first. I'm gonna go NFC teams. Go to the Seahawks right here. Where the heck are they? Do they not have odds for them right now?
Yeah, no. They got I know they have wins totals. So I was just going
to
tell you.
Oh, here it is. Seattle to make the playoffs. I got it.
Seattle to make the playoffs.
Yes. Yes is plus 130.
Yeah.
It's pretty short odds here. Dallas is shorter odds than that. I'm just looking at everybody in the NFC. The Falcons are plus 138. The Bears and Green Bay are short, really short, minus 110, minus 104. I think that probably speaks to their fan bases laying money in there. Philadelphia at minus 156. I think we know why Philly and Dallas's odds are so short. It's because the Giants are a disaster and Washington is in the middle of sort of injury hell. And are dealing with a rookie quarterback. I actually liked what Washington did during this offseason.
So do I.
I just don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that team and the way that everything's run there, but Washington at plus 450 to make the playoffs, I'm not a huge fan, and the problem is that they're dealing with Philly and Dallas, but those are pretty long odds that I wouldn't mind taking a shot at. If you look at that roster, especially defensively, it's a good team.
I'm with you. On paper, I think it's a good team. I think they're going to win games with their defense. I always have problems with the receiving core there, Mike. It's yes. one of those things in Washington. It's a huge problem. I don't know. The thing about it, though, is the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a lot of question marks, and that's what helps Washington's total, right? So you have Carson Wentz coming back. You know, they talk about getting the back healthy, the OTAs. Dallas, the Elliott thing will pass over, even though he's a stooge, and I think he should stay at home and not go to rave parties and stuff like that. I look at Washington. I love their defense. I have big questions at the receiver position with them. And the thing about the Redskins is, in that division, I'm really, really, really not sold on Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, with his injury history, you don't have that Nick Foles kind of backup plan anymore. What are you going to do? Throw in Nate Sudfeld? You know what I mean, Mike? And there's a very, very good possibility that he does get hurt. You know what I mean? So I think Philadelphia backers, you have to be very concerned about this team. I think they're fragile and thin. And if that happens, that helps the Dallas Cowboys to the over, if you like them, or Washington. And
the over in Washington right now on FanDuel is 6.
That's nuts. They win 6 games. They have to win 6 games.
Yeah.
Don't you think they win what do you do? What skin? 7 games? 7-8 games? Like, I
could see them going 500 this year.
Yes.
It's a rookie quarterback, but honestly, I think Haskins landed in a great spot. I like Jay Gruden as an offensive coach.
So do I.
I think he's had some challenges with Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder running the organization, and we'll see how it works out. It's grades are incomplete, but I actually think with all the disasters before and saying Dan Snyder's taking over the first round, I think they played it well. I think they signed a couple of guys during the offseason. The defense is strong up front, and now they got Dwayne Haskins. The receiving core is an issue, but they have Geis coming back. The offensive line is good, even if not deep. The defensive line is really good, and I think they scratch out 7 or 8 wins easy. And I was just talking about them winning the division at plus 450. It wouldn't stun me. Because Dallas is always a gong show waiting to happen. And Philly, like you said, there's 2 teams right now that have issues at quarterback that doesn't seem at first glance like they have issues at quarterback. Tennessee and Philly. Because they have injury-prone quarterbacks that they have to decide soon whether or not to extend them. If Mariota plays great this year and he plays 14, or if he plays 16 games, it could be, and I like Mariota, but it could be a false reading, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? because
definitely
he plays, this could be the one season where he plays his 16 games, and then you put down $150 million for the guy, and then what?
Then he gets, then he gets banged up, right, Mike? I could totally see that playing out on my book. Listen to this one. Considering we were talking about the Redskins, I got +500 on them just to make the playoffs. On one of my sports books, +500 Redskins, no playoffs, -800 Redskins, yes to playoffs, +500 You give me 5-1, not even winning the division, maybe slip. That's the beautiful thing. If you get in as a wild card, even like 5-1 is even better than +450 it's something that you, I definitely would consider. I think there's a lot of value there. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, the Philadelphia Eagles wins under is going to be on my ticket just because I think they're being overinflated in the marketplace. And I think they're one injury away from disaster. And that,
if anything, FanDuel Sportsbook.
Ooh, nine. I saw some tens early. 9.5 Ooh, yeah.
At 9.5, I'm probably going to lay off.
I think I'll lay off too. Moves. If it was 10 flat, I'd take it. I would definitely take it.
I need it to move. I'm going to check what one of my favorite teams, and Dane Martinez is already blowing up my spot with this one. But I'm going to tell you, yeah, Atlanta at 8.5 I think they're in. I think Atlanta lines up for a really big bounce back.
I do too.
They obviously had a brutal season last year, but it was really entirely based on the fact that they got very injured early. They lost Keanu Neal, they lost Deion Jones, and they lost Ricardo Allen all before the month of October rolled around. Jones is the only one that eventually came back, but he effectively missed 10 games, and they went 7-9 New Orleans obviously had a great season. Carolina was 7-9 In fact, Atlanta, I'll try and look. I'll see if I can get it really quick what their prop is to win the division.
Yep.
To win the division, Atlanta is at +380 New Orleans at -230
Wow.
So you got to like those odds. I don't see Carolina and Tampa taking that division. I think it's a two-team race for the NFC South, at least the way things look right now.
I agree with you. And if you don't want to even do that, you're thinking, you know, I'm scared about the Saints, Mike. You're getting plus money. Falcons to make the playoffs, +170 Falcons not to make the playoffs, -210 I think that's definitely going to be clicked. And you talked about an underrated, unheralded defense with guys who got hurt early and they still squeezed out a win. That defensive team is getting better. It used to be, you know, a real weakness. It's turning into a strength of that team. I'm with you. I think the Falcons to make the playoffs at +170 is a good bet.
They franchised Grady Jarrett, and the way their season went, it all fell apart when everybody got hurt. I think people don't remember. Atlanta scratched their way back. They were basically 5-5
yep.
and it just didn't go well. They were out of gas because of the injuries, and it put them in that position. So we're going to come back with Bob Long, a fantasy football consistency guide. We're going to talk about everything, player rankings, props, how his Browns look for 2019. He's just another guy on the bandwagon, I'm sure, but we'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. Memorial Day weekend edition, rocking it out. Hopefully you're having some barbecue and enjoying some time with friends and family. And speaking of friends that we're going to bring into the show, we're welcoming Bob Long to the show this morning or this weekend. Find him on Twitter at Bob_Lung, L-U-N-G. He is the winner of the FSWA's Best Fantasy Football Publication, the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. And Bob, the 2019 guide is live on Amazon right now for people to get, correct?
It is. And thanks again for having me on, guys. Always appreciate it. It's always exciting to be on with you. And Great holiday weekend. But yeah, it's on Amazon. If you want the printed copy, Big Guy Fantasy Sports has the PDF and tier draft list, all the access to the consistency report tool that you can put in your own scoring method to find out how consistent the players are in your league. So that's there as well. But the important thing is, if you buy it on Amazon and you want an updated tier draft list or an updated guide that I'll be updating all summer, just email me and I'll send you a free copy of it, because you've already paid for it, and it's easier to do it that way than try to get it again on Amazon. So I want to keep everybody up to date all the way to draft time.
Hey, good Mike, would you say it's the most thorough thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, it's like 160 like, pages
it's
long.
It's
really
amazing.
Incredible.
Oh, it's awesome.
Incredible. So if you think that you're getting some leaflet with a couple of fantasy football stats on it, this is not that. It's 160 pages, and we'll break down tiers of players and everything else, which is really sort of my first question to you, Bob. And we'll get into all different types of teams and players and rankings. But with your approach to your guide, like sort of what is the step one in what you're trying to do in publishing this guide? What delineates this maybe from some other fantasy football information you see out there?
Right. Well, since 2002, the ultimate goal here is to bring the importance of consistency in a fantasy football head-to-head league to the people that are out there preparing for their draft. And, you know, there's 60 million people playing out there, and I'm hoping that someday I can touch all of these folks with this information. But the key is that a lot of people forget about the fact that, you know, they look at the year-to-date stats. So they'll see that, you know, Drew Brees was the eighth best in total points last year. Jared Goff was sixth in total points, and think, oh, well, they're top 10 quarterbacks. I should draft them. But the problem is that Goff was only 57% consistent. And Drew Brees was actually under 50% consistent, which means less than half of the games last year, he was earning over 20 points in a 4-point passing 12-team league. And that's why the tool comes into play, because you can actually put in how big your league is, how the scoring works, and see if that changes the consistency factor, clutch factor they have to get over. But that's what it's important is, you know, if you're not making the playoffs every year by a game or two, or and especially if you're a high-scoring team and not making the playoffs, that's the most frustrating. You know, it's probably because you're drafting inconsistent players. You're going after the big weeks instead of the consistent weeks. And that's what the guide is there to show those who are undervalued and overvalued, and, you know, why you should pick certain players at certain times, and, you know, why that consistency factor is so important when you're out there drafting.
Yeah, Bob, I got to ask you too, like just going through the guide. First of all, people, it is the most concise breakdown. It's amazing, Mike. I'm just telling you, I feel smarter after reading it there. I could tell you one thing, but what do you do, Bob? The question I have too is obviously with the numbers that you throw in the supercomputer, the consistency rankings, how do you measure it? Do you ever play with feel? That's the thing, because it's all very, very heavy number based thing. But just from, like, you know, how do you compare? Because we talk about it at Daily Roto, the eye test, watching the games versus it, because the computer, you need that information to help you win. If you're not using it, it's usually a problem. But how do you play, I guess, basing all the mathematical projections and everything with a little bit of the eye test? How do you do that? Because it's very, very difficult to do.
You're right. And you know, you still have to have that gut feel. I certainly have those. And, you know, I've been playing since 1985. So, you know, you certainly have those years where the numbers maybe don't exactly add up, but you kind of feel like they're going to get the opportunity. And I think that's the most important is the eye test, but it's more the opportunity test too, is, you know, are they going to get that opportunity to prove that they can be consistent? And maybe they had one or two games. You know, I always look at that last six games of the season, and you'll see like last year's guide, I was really high on George Kittle because he earned 4 out of 5 clutch games at the end of the 2017 season. And I said, I think George Kittle will be a really good value. You're going to get him in the, you know, 8th, 10th round. And I drafted him on a lot of teams. And so it was a little bit of opportunity, a little bit of gut, and of course paid off. But yeah, you know, you're always going to have that. You don't play fantasy football for any significant amount of time and not have that gut feel for a player every once in a while. And if there's a little bit of numbers to back it up, that's even better. But, you know, every once in a while, somebody comes out of nowhere and nobody knows, like Philip Lindsay. So there's nothing to base
good
it
call.
On. So, you know, there's always that, there's always the gut involved, but I try to make it more about the numbers. So I have something to back up, my thoughts and my rankings and my feelings, but yeah, you're always going to have a little bit of gut in there.
Yeah, good call on Kittle. He was really the only guy I was kind of targeting in drafts last year because the position is such a mess year over year, and I don't want to pay for Ertz and Kelsey and last year Gronk for the most part. But Kittle was a really good value. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Again, we're hanging out with Bob Long. You can find him on Twitter at Bob_Long. He produces the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. So go to his Twitter handle, and you'll be able to find all the information on that. So, so a couple things. We'll talk about Kittle in a minute, but just to approach first of all, what you said about statistics and gut is really important. I was laughing the other day because somebody, Mike Clay from ESPN, who we've played in leagues with and people know
him really well,
he comes out with team by team projections and game by game projections of win probability. So somebody took his tweet about the Giants and their probabilities of winning and said, Mike Clay predicts the Giants will only win two games in 2019, to which Mike Clay responds, no, he doesn't. Because you can't say that with a 48% probability he thinks the Giants will lose this game to the Eagles and say, well, he's predicted definitively that the Giants will lose that game. No. It doesn't mean that. There are a wide range of outcomes and probabilities, and you can't assume because somebody says there's only a 48% chance that they'll win this game that they will lose. It means it's probably going to be a close game. One play either way, maybe a penalty, can flush it. So just on the wide spectrum of talking about probability and consistency and projections, I think that's an important note for everybody. So with that in mind, I got a couple of running backs, which I need to ask you about, because since we're talking about consistency, you can look back last year and say, you know what? David Johnson finished as the RB9 in PPR leagues in fantasy football. But anecdotally, you think, you know what? I don't remember him winning me any games. So how do you feel about David Johnson because he didn't have the explosive games that he had back in 2016? How do you feel about David Johnson? New quarterback? Shuffled some things around on this team. What do you look to see him do in 2019?
Well, I kind of compare David Johnson 2018 to Todd Gurley a few years ago when everybody wanted, you know, was thinking he was going to be a top five pick, and he had basically kind of the same year David Johnson did last year. Good, but not great. But to the people that drafted him early, it was horribly disappointing. So that made him a great value. Then the next year, in 2017, then he exploded and was the number one running back. I kind of look at David Johnson the same way. Yeah, he had a down year. It wasn't, you know, because we thought he was a top three pick. But he, you know, ended up ranked ninth in total points, played all 16 games, which is very important for running back. So he was 69-70% consistent. That ranked him 14th. So, you know, if you're getting him in the early to mid-second round as maybe your RB2 or as a solid RB1, really, you got to believe he's going to improve. Again, you've got a better quarterback, better weapons around him, a new coach that's all about offense. He's going to get a lot of balls out of the backfield. I really like David Johnson a lot this year. I'll take him at the end of the first round. You know, I don't know what my how high, you know, am I going to pick him number five overall? Maybe not, but you know, again, depends on who's still sitting there and who's available. But I really like David Johnson a lot this year. I did a lot of best ball drafts before the actual NFL draft, and then he was going very low. I was getting David Johnson as my RB2 in, like, the late second round after getting, like, Zeke or Barkley or somebody like that. So I thought at that point it was a great value. Now he's moved up, obviously, a little bit higher. But I still think he's a very good value, and I'd love to have him on my team in 2019.
Bob, somebody around that point is Le'Veon Bell, too, kind of in that mix, you know, Fournette, David Johnson with projection. I got to be honest with you. He's going to have some motivation. I know the story with the Jets and Gase and, oh, they he didn't really want this guy or whatever. Also, you know what? People talk about the season off. It could be a benefit, too. When you're running back, you get beat down. He's not a young guy. So where do you project – what are your projections for Le'Veon Bell? And the offense is young and getting better. What do you think he'll do? Because I think he has a little bit of upside with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just 2 years ago, you know, 2016, 2017, you know, he was 100% consistent 1 year, 93% the next year in Pittsburgh. Yeah, he's going to a team that doesn't have the same weapons around him. So, you know, I certainly have kicked him down a notch, but you know, he's definitely going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He's definitely a first round pick. You know, to me, I think late first round is better. You know, I've seen him go as high as 5 or 6. Again, you know, if I had to choose between Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson, I think I'd go to David Johnson, but it's pretty close. I think Bell has, you know, going to get the opportunity, got a chip on his shoulder. I think it's going to really, really be focused on can the Jets offense around him keep the defenses, you know, in check. So they're not stacking 8 in the box and you know, mirroring him out on passing plays. They, you know, Sam Darnold and the wide receivers and Chris Herndon and tight end, they've got to keep teams honest. And if they can't, it could be ugly. But, you know, I still think that with the, you know, in a PPR format, I think Le'Veon Bell will certainly easily be top 10, probably top 7.
I thought the Kelechi Osemele acquisition for them was really important on the offensive line. My concerns with the Jets' offense rely specifically around the offensive line. They don't have a number one wideout, and Jamison Crowder is an injury-prone guy.
Yeah,
right. But if Crowder stays healthy, he's going to be an excellent safety valve. In an Adam Gase offense with Sam Darnold, Crowder could be a sneaky guy. It's just you're going to have to deal with a guy that could easily get hurt. So that's really my concern around Bell more than anything else. Look, all of this drama, and I had Manish Mehta on from the New York Daily News last week. He's a Jets beat writer, and the Jets managed to make themselves a back page story for being a joke again. When they finally had handed it over to the Giants and the Knicks, they just, the ultimate hold my beer moment, they came back and said, no, we're really the biggest disaster here. Here's what it comes down to for me, for the Jets, and tell me your thoughts on this, Bob. All of this stuff is extraneous if Adam Gase can make Sam Darnold as great as I think he can be. That's what it comes down to.
Well, we hope so. The only thing that scares me is Adam Gase didn't do a very good job in Miami, mismanaged the running back situation with Kenyon Drake.
Sure.
Now Tannehill got hurt, so you can't say much there about the quarterback situation. But I think this is a make or break here for Adam Gase, because I didn't think he did a very good job at all in Miami. And so now you're under the biggest stage in America in New York. If this team doesn't start off well and win a few games and at least be competitive, this could be an ugly year for the team and Adam Gase and company. I think Adam Gase's, you know, neck is on the line, and this is definitely a you know, do or die kind of situation for him and the team.
Hey, Bob, Damian Williams, a guy that really came on for the Kansas City Chiefs. I find, you know what, Mike, I find him very intriguing, and I'm looking at some ranking boards, like right around Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I'm like, whoa. Like, I like Damian Williams, too. But what do you think, Bob? Because people remember what they saw last, but that was when Kansas City had a lot of injuries there and things were happening. Like, can he be that guy? Because I see a lot of projection with him a little bit higher than I would have had him ranked.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan at all. In fact, if you read in the guide, I think I literally put it with lots of exclamation points. Please stop with the Damian Williams is a stud / top 15 pick for fantasy. You know, what people don't remember is this guy only played 32 snaps until week 13. Not 32, you know, he didn't have 32 touches. He played 32 snaps. So he had the freshest legs in the league on an offense that you and I could probably have been productive because there were too many weapons to worry about. So, yeah, he looked good in those last few games, looked good in the playoffs. But if he was really that good, do you really think the Chiefs would have went out and got Carlos Hyde and draft a rookie running back? That tells me that they are smart enough to realize he's not the answer. Right now, I'm drafting Carlos Hyde in almost every league because I'm getting him in the 10th round. It's like my RB4. And only 2 years ago, Carlos Hyde was 75% consistent and caught 60 passes out of the backfield for San Francisco. I mean, I think Carlos Hyde takes the job sooner than later. Now, there may be certainly some RBBC type scenario, but I'm not touching Damian Williams with any pick in any draft. I'll take Carlos Hyde late and watch him maybe take over by week 4 or 5. But I'm having no shares of Damian Williams.
I can't believe how high he's ranked, Mike. Like, I'm just looking at a number. Like, this is out of control. Like,
it's a Mahomes bump. It's a Mahomes bump for sure. Like, yeah. David Johnson.
Yeah, I have him 28.
To Bob's point, David Johnson was cheap, and now there's a Kyler Murray bump, and David Johnson is not really going to be at value anymore. He's just a first-round pick, and live or die with it. So, all right. Well, so we'll set a couple of things up when we come back. There's two guys I want you to comment on when we come back from the break, and they're actually, why don't we make it all three, because there's running backs in the AFC North that people are going to be really salivating over, and that's James Conner, Nick Chubb, and even Joe Mixon. So we'll talk about those guys when you come back. I'll get you prepped and see how you feel about all of those guys individually. So we're on here with Bob Long for yet another segment. It's Mike and Cam, the Memorial Day weekend edition of FST. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back, Memorial Day weekend edition of FST. I'm on with Cam Stewart, at Cam Stewart Live on Twitter. I'm at Mike Blewett, and we're here with Bob Long, talking about a fantasy football consistency guide. He's on Twitter at Bob_Lung, that's L-U-N-G. And you can also find updated information on BigGuyFantasySports.com. So I set you up with the three AFC North running backs. You're a Browns fan, all as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a Steelers fan, dealing with the post-drama era of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. So how do the guys that are left standing shake out? You have Nick Chubb, who's probably at the backfield to himself until Kareem Hunt comes back from suspension. You've got James Conner, who you're hearing whispers or flat-out discussion of maybe him sharing the ball a little bit more to keep him healthier throughout the season. And then we have Joe Mixon, who probably does have the ball to himself in a slightly rebuilt offensive line, which is a good thing, and hopefully a healthy Andy Dalton. So have at it. Where do you have these guys ranked, and what are your thoughts on them for 2019?
Well, ranking-wise, they're all pretty close. I mean, I have Conner at number 8. I have Mixon at 10. I probably have Chubb further down. I have him at 16. You know, it's really because of the Kareem Hunt thing. I mean, you know, after week 8, Hunt's going to be in there, and I'm assuming they're going to be sharing carry. They certainly didn't sign him to sit on the bench and watch Nick run the rest of the season. So that's the only thing that kind of bothers me about him. If he had the job to himself, he'd certainly be right up there with Conner. I think they're all very talented. They're all in good situations. I'm actually kind of happy that they're going to take a little bit away from James Conner and not push him too hard, because obviously got knocked out week 13. So he missed the, you know, fantasy playoffs for the team. So, you know, that's never fun when you're rolling along and you're so excited about this guy you picked up either late in the draft or on the waiver wire, and then all of a sudden he lets you down playoff time. But I think that's a good idea for them to maybe use Jalen Samuels or somebody like that to, you know, just give him a rest a little more often than not. he was 85% consistent last year, ranked sixth in total points. And, you know, sixth in total points, and he missed three games. So definitely a stud there. Joe Mixon definitely should have a better year. New coach, offensive coordinator. Like you said, improved offensive line. Andy Dalton should be back. A.J. Green will be back healthy-wise. So, you know, that team, I think that team could be a good offensive team. I think their defense is a little weak. So I think they'll be, you know, putting up a lot of points, which is good for fantasy. So I like all the teams. Well, of course, you know, I'm excited yet apprehensive for my Browns because I've lived long enough to know you never get excited about a Browns team regardless of how good they look on paper because something could happen. We call it the drive, the fumble, you name it. So I'm excited about that team. You know, there's certainly a lot of potential there for points, and it should be an exciting time in the AFC North.
Okay, Cam, one thing before you go. Here's the one thing I would say to people, too. You could draft Nick Chubb with the understanding that Hunt is going to come back, but you could also piece it together with something that Bob said earlier and draft Carlos Hyde. So that you have to look at it in a total picture, because assuming that your guy that you draft in the second or third round is going to be in there for 16 games and a workhorse back is fool's gold. It isn't happening. The few guys that can do that are drafted in the top 20 picks. For example, James Conner, Philip Lindsay were really unique situations last year. But you're trying to piece this together over the course of an entire season, picking depth guys. You can't assume that all the guys you draft are going to start. So maybe Nick Chubb has at it for the first 9 weeks, and then he's in a committee. Well, maybe Carlos Hyde doesn't have at it until week 7 when Damian Williams gets run down, and then Hyde, out of nowhere, by week 8, is the starter. It's a very hypothetical scenario that I'm piecing together, but it is a realistic scenario that could happen, whether it's Carlos Hyde or somebody else. So that's all I'll say to anybody listening. Cam, back over to you.
Yeah, I want to talk about rookies, guys, because they make or break you. Sometimes guys reach for the mic. We're big fans of college football, and we get to see all these guys. But David Montgomery for the Bears, I find, is in a really good situation, too, because Tariq Cohen is the scat back there. And I love his style at Iowa State. He was a banging-type running back, very hard to bring down there, Bob. What do we do with Montgomery? Some people have him inside, you know, the top 20. Others maybe hovering around the 30 mark. I'm a big fan of David Montgomery, but I don't want to reach for him. What do you think about him and the rookie class?
Well, in the guide, there is an article called Rookies versus Consistency, because that's a question I get every year. You know, well, what? How do you judge the consistency of the incoming rookies? And, well, you can't unless, you know, now you get your special players, your Barkley's, your Zeke Elliott's, you know, OBJ came in. But in the article, basically what I did since 2010, there have been 385 players drafted at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end in the first four rounds. And of those 385, only 32 of them actually earned over a 60% consistency rating in the rookie year. Last year, there were only two, Barkley, of course, and Baker Mayfield, who was only 64%, but obviously he earned 75% of that, you know, 75% over the last, you know, second half of the season. But that was the only two. No wide receivers, no other running backs, no other quarterbacks, and zero tight ends. In fact, there's only been two tight ends since 2010 that's even earned over 60%. One was Evan Ingram, and one was Jordan Reed. So Kelsey, Gronk, Ertz, none of them earned over 60%. So you see a lot of excitement about Noah Fant and Hockenson and, you know, and Sternberger and those kind of guys. Yeah, there's very few that earn over that ranking. So a guy like David Montgomery, you know, certainly got the talent, but so do a lot of these guys. Think about how high everybody was last year over Royce Freeman and Rashad Penny going into the season. Yeah. You know, so it's those kind of things that people get excited, and I understand the shiny new toy aspect of it, but you also kind of have to look at the numbers and go, it's few and far between. You know, and then they've got Tariq Cohen. They went out and got Mike Davis before they drafted Montgomery. Mike Davis could be, you know, so I almost see like a committee there. Maybe Montgomery, you know, takes over at some point. But I kind of go back to what we were just talking about. Injuries will prevail. Somebody's going to get hurt. That gives opportunity. Maybe it's Montgomery gets hurt, Mike Davis becomes the stud. Maybe it's Mike Davis that gets hurt, and Montgomery becomes the stud. So it's just hard to predict. And I usually stay away from those kind of guys and those kind of situations. If it's within the first five rounds, I just don't want to take that chance. I'll stay with my consistent, proven veterans, maybe take a flyer on a rookie or two somewhere later, but usually they're gone because everybody grabs them early.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob. I think on the whole, as a fantasy football player, I'm not saying to not draft rookies, but if your strategy was to fade rookies, especially at wide receiver and tight end, you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah,
because
and Penny,
at the end, yeah,
you remember Penny in college, right, Mike? He was unstoppable. Yeah. Like when Seattle drafted him, like, wow, can't miss. But then Carson still got the job. Penny's still probably second on the depth chart behind Carson. So excellent point by you guys. Right. Like it's just they look great in college, but sometimes it doesn't translate there.
And obviously there's opportunities for those running backs, be it by committees where David Montgomery may be or some other impact guys that can come in a little bit later in the year. But rookie wide receivers learning route trees and tight ends really having a very difficult task in front of them as a rookie, it's just hard for them to make an impact. Everything that Bob has talked about with some of these other names that he threw out there, those are the exceptions to the rule. So if you feel like you fleeced everybody because you took Calvin Ridley a round or two early, well, how consistent was he? He's a really good player. 150%. He's going to be great. Right. But he was fantastic for 3 weeks. And outside of that, you were like, oh, man, I've had Calvin Ridley in my lineup since week four, and he hasn't done much. Yeah, he's a rookie wide receiver with a veteran quarterback and arguably the best wide receiver in the whole league sitting across from him. He's not going to get all the opportunities right away.
Right, exactly. No, and that's the thing people, like I try to, and that's what I do that article for is, you know, I'm not just going to tell people, well, there's no consistency in rookies. I'm literally giving them the number saying, here it is, folks. You know, you can take my word for it or not, but when 8% of those top four round players are being drafted, these are the guys you expect to be the studs, rookie studs. And you know, even first rounders, it's not that high. In fact, the article breaks down, you know, what round they were drafted in so you can see, those guys are drafting the fourth round. Like I think wasn't Kamara a fourth round pick or third round pick? And you know, obviously set the world on fire. So it's not even a round to round thing. It's just opportunity, talent. You know, just it's kind of hard to predict. And you know, I just try to stay away from as much as I can. But if there's a good value, there's a good value. But it's usually going to have to be after probably round six or seven before I'm even going to think about taking a shot, and that might be more because of a handcuff than anything.
Yeah. Mike, should we move on to the receivers, I guess, with Bob right now? Are we good with the running backs?
Yeah, we got a few minutes left. I would say, like, why don't we do it like this? Give us your favorite value at QB and tight end, because I talk all the time how I just wait at those two positions because there's no reason to pay
at
either position. Maybe a good value guy that you like at tight end and QB, specifically to talk about Kittle, because there's a lot of talk about regression for him, and I understand why, because a whole bunch of people are coming back and have been added to the team. So maybe a value guy there. We'll see if we can squeeze something in at wide receiver after that.
Gotcha. Well, let me bring up a new concept that I actually created this year. We've all heard about streaming quarterbacks. And so I took that concept and then applied the consistency scenario to it. So in the guide this year is two new articles called Con-Streaming. That's the short version of it. And basically what I'm showing is that instead of maybe going after the Mahomes, Watson, Rodgers, Luck in the first five rounds, picking guys that you can literally can stream, but based on their consistency, home versus away. So, like, if you take a Jared Goff who's 73% consistent at home and a Matt Ryan who's 72% consistent on the road, you can get those guys in the 7th through 9th or 10th round while you load up on all the running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, and you're still going to get maybe a 75% consistent quarterback, which is what Watson and Rodgers and Luck all were, and you don't have to waste an early pick on them. And I also have an article that does the same thing with the tight ends. Instead of going after the studs early, you go and pick a Delanie Walker or a O.J. Howard or a Evan Ingram or somebody in sixth round or later, get two of them, and then just stream them back and forth again based on their consistency. And, you know, it's just something that I'm going to try this year quite a bit and hope that, you know, and prove that this works. But there's a lot of good quarterbacks that just are have some interesting uniqueness to their consistency. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is like 35% consistent on the road, but he's 80% consistent at home. Okay, so we only play him when he's at home. But going back to Kittle, you know, again, I love Kittle as much as anybody, but he's going in the first three rounds with Ertz and Kelce. And,
yeah, I'm out.
You know,
I'm out
in the guide, it shows that you can get them, you know, and they're worthy of those numbers, especially Kelce. But it's still, you know, it's still like, man, I think I'd rather wait and get the running backs and wide receivers because that's where all the talent, you know, that's where all the numbers come from.
There's a lot of O.J. Howard truthers out there now, I feel like, Cam. Yeah. So I think that value is going to explode here.
What did some guys rank him like fourth there, like O.J. Howard? It's a kind of an interesting. He's a mixed bag. Like you have some real different, you know, but people in their assessment of O.J. Howard. I think he's a beast. And you know what, Mike? It's a little bit deeper though. Like you look at Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, Ingram, Henry, Howard, and then what about Ebron? He's a touchdown machine. Njoku. I remember before we talked about if you don't have a couple of the main guys, but guys are coming back from injury. The Hunter Henrys of the world and stuff.
Jack Doyle is going to be mainly free as far as draft value is concerned, and
for sure,
people are just going to assume that Ebron is the primary tight end there, and I'm not entirely convinced. I'm not saying I'm definitely right. I'm just saying the value that I'm going to have to pay for Jack Doyle is well worth what could be a 70 to 80 catch tight end. That's where I try to live at that position because. On the flip side, Kittle could end up with the same amount of catches. I know how great he was last year, but there's too many other factors at play for me to pay for that. So, Cam, what's a wide receiver question you might have to close it out?
Well, yeah, just Antonio Brown with the Raiders. I know a lot, you know, some guys rank him. I think he's just a little bit overvalued with that situation. You know what? He's going to have to be the big dog in Oakland now. There's no Juju Smith-Schuster there. You know what, Bob? It changes things. I see him like, you know, the fourth, fifth receiver. I think that's a little bit high for Brown, but, you know, are people going to be reaching for him? Where do you go? I know, Mike, you're a Steeler fan there. He's with the silver and black. I'm just not so sure. I see regression. Where do you rank him?
I have him 8. And I have him down quite a bit as well because he's, you know, when he was in Pittsburgh, he's 100% consistent, 93% consistent last year. You know, he has certainly been the stud of studs. But like you said, there was always somebody on the other side that would take a little bit of the pressure off, or they had Le'Veon Bell, you know, coming out of the backfield. Raiders, not so much. And you've got a quarterback who's not as strong as Big Ben, you know, throwing and staying in the pocket. So, I have him regressing. Like I said, I have him at wide receiver 8. I haven't drafted him yet because I'm usually looking at somebody else around him, like you know, Michael Thomas or Mike Evans or Keenan Allen, who's got the consistency as well. And I feel like they're still in the right spot for that. So I guess I'd have to say I'm probably fading on Antonio a little bit this year.
And good Mike, stuff, what do we Bob. Tell? What do we ask for Bob's Browns over under 9.5 wins?
Yeah, I think I know where this is going. So, what do you think? Over under 9.5 on the Browns?
I'm going to be the 55-year-old Cleveland Brown fan who knows better, and I'm going to say under, just because it's the Browns. Something can happen. I'm not betting my house on more than, you know, on 10 wins or more. I hope it happens. But I'm never going to be too optimistic for the team. I'm going to say they're going to get 9 and get under.
A smart man, but I like that you're fading it for now. You can always root with your heart, but my concern there is Kitchens as a first year head coach having to bring all of this stuff together. I think it's a lot of pressure with Baker coming back.
A lot of egos.
I don't necessarily see a sophomore slump, but it's going to be hard for him to be consistent, which is a perfect way to close out. So good stuff from Bob Lung there, fantasy football consistency guide. Find him on Twitter at Bob_Lung. Great job, Bob. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's so we'll come back after the break. Cam and I will talk a little bit more football and then mix it up in hour number 3. It's Mike and Cam. We'll be right back.